Welcome. This is the Dragon Thistle Rugby Pod. Right, okay, welcome to the podcast. How are we? I apologise. Obviously, we've been away for a couple of weeks. That's sort of down to a bit of timing issues. I've been quite busy over the last couple of weeks. had a week in Cyprus.
That was you sneaked it in as well. You didn't actually tell anyone you were going until like the day before.
No, literally, it was kind of booked quite late. Yeah. So I'd when we usually record, we couldn't do the Wednesday, could we? A couple of weeks ago, and then I went to an evening with Scott Quinnell, which is decent. If you ever get the chance, go. The guy's hilarious, and he's just a nice bloke. Absolute fucking unit. Absolute unit. I didn't think he was as tall as he was, but he's like the same height as me. But about 20 stone. Fucking huge.
So same size as you as well then, mate.
I'd honestly say his 20 stone is better deposited than mine though. yeah, and then obviously I'd end up picking up a new dog, and then we went to Cyprus. We did try and figure something out for when I was in Cyprus, but just didn't work out. I was 2 hours ahead, and obviously we had things on. So we do apologise, but we're back, and we're going to be back regularly. Obviously, there's a lot of rugby coming up. Got the last weekend of the URC before the international break, and obviously we're heading into the international break starting next weekend. So it's a lot to look forward to. Anyway, what have you been up to, mate? Actually, I've just been blabbering on about all the exciting stuff I've been up to. What have you been up to? Going to swimming?
Say again?
Going to swimming lessons?
Swimming lessons with Maggie on a... Oh, mate, it was a nightmare last week. So on the Friday, so went swimming on the Friday, and she goes in on her own, her and like a couple of other kids, and the instructor's not in the pool either. So she's just like with her armbands on doing stuff. And come to the end of the lesson, she wouldn't get out of the pool. Right, so I'm watching, like, obviously fully clothed, and like after like a couple of minutes, the woman trying to get out of the pool, and she was just lying on her back, chilling out, like, if she's on holiday. And she was like, no, I'm not getting out of the pool. And I was like, I'm going to have to go in my clothes here to get her out of the pool. I was like starting to get like quite angry. And that. I had to like throw in one of them like woggle float things. And fortunately, she did grab it and I pulled her out. I was raging with her, mate, honestly. I was like, I'm genuinely going to have to get in the pool here. Like, woman was just like, oh, don't worry about it. I was like proper embarrassed. But
It would have been so much better if you had to get in fully clothed.
I don't think I'd have told the story if I'd had to get in, mate. But mate. Next, I said to her afterwards, I said, right, we're not going, because she does dancing and football on Saturdays. It's like, we're not doing that. So she was really like apologetic. And then she was like, best behaved she'd ever been at football the next day. So I was like, oh, happy day. So she did learn a little bit. But yeah, I was proper embarrassed. But no, not really been doing much. Just chilling out weekends and stuff. I think like, so... We've got my sister and Paz and the kids and their kids are coming around next week to visit. So Helen's like started like decorating all the house like Halloween and stuff like that. And I haven't taken Maggie trick or treating before because I've been away for a couple of them. So I'm going to take a trick or treating next week and stuff like that, really. So nothing too exciting though.
No, that doesn't sound as good as like clubbing an iron apple, does it?
Clubbing. You're 38 years old, mate. You're in bed.
Mate, I was in that Pirates bar, mate. It was class again.
Yeah. Did you do the dance that they had to that?
They didn't have the screen up, mate. I'd have done it because we had a couple of heavy ones. In fairness, like yeah, we are getting on a bit, so it was a whole day more to chill. But we did have a couple of heavy ones. Drank far too many cocktails, and after I tipped the waiter, they basically just became like spirit with a bit of colour in it. Ugh. Yeah, it was rough.
Did
mate.
You go to the hotel where you got married?
No, we stayed somewhere different.
Visited it though.
You could see it from the beach. Gosh, don't need to go and see it, mate. You know what I mean? Married now, aren't I? It's 4 years.
Don't want to relive that nightmare, mate. Yeah. By the way, Sean is still married, happily married. I'm joking.
Yeah. Thankfully, our missus don't listen to this shit, so it's all right, isn't it? So right then. So yeah, we got that out of the way. Got that out of the way. Why we've disappeared for a couple of weeks, but. We're back now. Yeah, so just a few bits. Obviously, got a little bit of news for you that's been going around. We're going to talk about the URC how the teams are getting on. We're not going to go over each individual game, kind of give a roundup over the last couple of weeks. And then the sort of the main part of the pod is both the Wales and Scotland teams have been named for the Autumn Internationals. A few surprises, a few things we're probably scratching our heads at. And then we're going to pick our teams for Wales to play New Zealand and then Scotland to play in Tonga as well. So we'll pick our teams from them squads. So, like, yeah, a few bits of news. Obviously, there was quite a bit of big news coming out of Wales once the Welsh squad had been announced. Halim Amos wasn't named in the team, which obviously with all the injuries we've had in the sort of fullback wing area, you know, presumed he was going to be picked. But as it turns out, he will be retiring from all rugby at the end of the season, aged 27, to go into medicine. He's been studying, I think it's for the last 7 or 8 years, I think, to become a doctor. So he's going to quit rugby to become a junior doctor. And I think he wants to do it now, obviously, before he gets a bit older and, you know, injuries and stuff like that. But I mean, to me, I've always rated Halim Amos. There's been discussions whether he had sort of the top end speed to be a winger that was spoke about by Gatland. But I think he's a talented player. But, you know, I applaud his decision. It's a huge decision. I suppose he did an interview the other day and he said, you know, he's played 2 World Cups. He's been to a Commonwealth Games. He's won 6 Nations titles. You know, it's not like he's had, he hasn't had any experiences or anything. So, yeah, a bit of a shock, though. He's 27.
Yeah, it's a bit like, I thought he might have been a bit like Jamie Roberts, have his full career and then probably look at, I know Jamie Roberts has kept up with all his qualifications and things like that, but I thought he'd have maybe done his career and then looked at becoming a doctor later or something.
I just applaud the decision. You know, it's brave. He's made the decision. And then, like he said in his interview, you know, his conscience could let him sort of take the position for someone else. In fairness, we probably could have done with him in the Autumn Internationals. But it gives someone else an opportunity. Some people obviously have missed out. But disappointing, but you know, it is what it is. I think it was yesterday Wales unveiled their new home and away shirt. I know Scotland did it a good few weeks back now, isn't it? When they unveiled theirs, shockingly enough, the home one is red. There was an advert put out saying, when Wales's red shirt goes green or something, and everyone was like, it best not be green. It's not that. It's recyclable material being used to make the shirt.
You've not copied Liverpool's shirt this season, then, no?
No, there's no green on this one. It's a V-neck. It's actually quite smart. I like it. The away shirt is black and green. It's got a bit of a pattern on it. I'm not too sure on that one. I mean, reasonably priced again, £70 for your like sort of normal regular shirt, and I think it's £90 for the pro. Fuck, jeez. Just only went. I mean, they only released one last year, and I think that annoys me more. But this is going to be the shirt that takes us to the World Cup, and obviously, there's always a new shirt. There's always a new shirt when the World Cup comes. So, and then obviously we are going to be talking about the New Zealand game, but there's been a lot of criticism. From ex-players, media, fans for this obviously New Zealand game, because it's being played outside of the international window, so we'll be missing 12 English-based players. I think it's 12 English-based or 12 players anyway. But the game is going to generate around $7 million for the WRU because the game is a sellout. But we are actually paying New Zealand $2 million to players on that day, though.
Jesus.
Which I find that apparently that's their fee to play outside the international window, $2 million. So obviously, WRU gets 5, they'll get 2. In the day, all rugby unions need money at the moment. Money is everything anyone needs, COVID. So you can criticize it, but it's $5 million, and it shows this is the only game that's sold out at the moment. You know, you've got South Africa, Australia, and Fiji. and none of them games are sold out. So it shows that people want to watch it, don't they? I mean, it's New Zealand, isn't it? So,
yeah, I mean, is it international rugby? I mean, it's Wales is national sport, and I mean, so yeah, you can understand why.
Yeah, I think it's just a bit. I think the big thing is, isn't it, that you know, our depth might be tested during it, but then I think you've got to see some of these players. Wales are an aging team, so we need to start seeing some new players. Whether we'll see some of them, I don't know. But we'll see. I think that's everything, isn't it? There's no news north of the border, is it?
Unfortunately, nothing from me, no.
It's not really a news time, is it? There's no signings. They always happen around Christmas time.
Yeah.
There's nothing else going on. Right, okay, cool. URC. I'll let you start, mate. There's two Scottish teams, so obviously these are the games over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, so I mean, I managed to watch pretty much all four games, so both Glasgow's and both Edinburgh's games. Glasgow, when they played against, I mean, the two games they played and beaten the Lions, and then they beat, did they beat Zebra away last week as well? They were okay. They were, what was good about it, I suppose, was like normally Glasgow are quite like, they can be a bit, they give away a lot of points, they give away a lot of like tries and things like that. And like defensively, they seem to have really like sorted that kind of side of the game out. There wasn't loads of spark in attack in both games. First off, at Zebra, they were pretty good, and I thought they might run away with it at one point, but then second half, not too much happened. But like overall, I'd say they've been pretty good. Like the main thing is that they have sorted out the defence, and that's been like a massive Achilles heel, particularly in the forwards. Rory Darge is absolutely pulling up trees. To be fair, he has been unbelievable. Fully deserves his place in the Scotland squad, which we'll talk about later. It's been good to see Dempsey play for Glasgow as well. He's done well, carried really, really hard. And, you know, so we've not missed Matt Ferguson or anything like that. And then I suppose the other one that really, I mean, I love watching Ross Thompson play. Just looks like he's got loads and loads of time on the ball, and he's going to be some player. But then that Rufus McLean, I don't know if you've seen much of him. He has got like absolute gas.
Wheels.
Absolute gas. But he's like, he's a bit like Darcy Graham. Like, he's not the biggest. I mean, he's bigger than Darcy Graham. But he just seems to punch above his weight. He always seems to like, if he gets tackled, he seems to like at least make a couple of yards and things like that. He just looks very, very good.
He's got amazing feet.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got a wicked sidestep on him.
And then I suppose the other player I've been fairly impressed with is, I can't pronounce his name, but Tui Pilotu. He's looked decent in patches when he's been given a bit of ball and a bit of space. You know, he's a tough man to bring down, and he does look for an offload. And yeah, another guy who looks like he deserves his place in the Scotland squad. So I've been like, yeah, quite impressed. Like the back row, Wilson Darge and more often than not Dempsey has been very, very strong. You know, and they're playing without Xander Ferguson and Ali Price as well. And a couple of other people missing. So it's been quite good. I've been like, you know, reasonably impressed. I'd say, I think I'd like to see a little bit more attack from them, because obviously you're used to Glasgow being this free-flowing attacking team. And I think they are more of an attacking team when Thompson plays rather than Dunkey Weir. But, you know, they're getting wins. I mean, I think they've won. I was listening to Ryan Wilson on the offload the other day. So, like, they've played Zebra 18 times and won all 18 games or something like that, which is a pretty good record. So, no, yeah, very, very happy with how Glasgow are going. And then for Edinburgh, I think Edinburgh have been going along quite nicely as well. Obviously, they are, because of the new coach, you could still argue that they're a team in transition. There was an absolute blinder of a game, particularly the first half at Edinburgh against Stormers. That was on the 9th of October. And the first half was just end-to-end rugby, and it was class. Jakob van der Vaart played very well. Bellacott, really, really good as well. He's hit the ground running. He's unlucky not to make the Scotland squad. But I mean, the back row that they've been pushing out, Richie, Crosby, Mata, I mean, that's like unbelievable. They've still got, obviously, a Hamish Watson to come back in there as well. So you can start to see now that there's a bit more of an identity there with the way they're playing. They're certainly playing a lot more attacking rugby. And when you, like, Pergos isn't playing now, and obviously under Cockers, like, Pergos was just putting fucking box kit up, all the time. But you've got Velicott and Shield playing a lot more, and there's a lot more running rugby, and they look like a much more exciting threat. I still think they're limited, So Mark Bennett's been good. I don't think James Lang's had the desired impact at 12 just yet. I mean, he's done all right, but I think they'll want a little bit more from him, probably a little bit more creativity, and I think hopefully that'll come. The problem Edinburgh have got now is that Jaco van der Vaart took quite a nasty injury in a game last week when they beat, oh, I can't remember who it is now. They beat, was it the Bulls?
I think it was the Bulls,
wasn't it? They beat the Bulls 17-10. I won't say it was the most enjoyable game. But it was all right. But like I say, like, losing Jaco van der Vaart at half time, basically, James Lang went 10, did a decent job. But that was just really more about the defensive effort to keep the balls out the second half. I do think that Edinburgh's forwards were very, very good and bossed quite a lot of the game. But I just think it's still, back line just still needs a little bit more of a spark. Positives, people like someone like Darcy Graham, he's looked very, very sharp, very, very lively. I'd say back to his best. Obviously, he had a difficult year with his brother being in that accident last year, and obviously that played on him. But it's good to see Shield got a full game at nine. I think Bellicott had to come on at fullback, I think, or something like that when he came on because it's cover for injuries. But yeah, good again from Edinburgh. You can see they are trying to adapt, become a bit more creativity, but they're keeping the, you know, they've still got a good, like, forward pack to build off of. So, yeah, really good, really happy with both teams at the moment. It's rare that you get a weekend where both teams win, so I was happy.
Stark contrast to the regions, mate. Stark contrast to the regions. Ugh. Right, yeah, so I actually managed to watch a few of the games the weekend before I went to Cyprus. And I actually got to watch a few of the games when I was in Cyprus. Or majority of them, anyway. Best place to start is the Scarlets. Absolutely in free fall. I did say this when we started the pod back up for this season, that I thought they were going to struggle this year. And I thought they were going to struggle in the second row and the forwards. And it's exactly what's happening. Shipping 43 points at home to Munster's second / thirds is not good enough when I think the team had 12 internationals or something in it.
Yeah, I seen with that, is it Rob Evans did like an interview afterwards?
Yeah.
He was
nearly in tears. Yeah, he's gutted, wasn't he? Devastated by it. Like. And I've seen some people say, oh, you know, easy to say when you finish and stuff, but, you know, none of them players went out there to get stuffed by 43 points, you know, and obviously it means a lot to them, but the problem is, the week after, you get Leinster away and Leinster go full noise. Not ideal when the confidence low. And, you know, Leinster put 50 on them, didn't they?
Yeah.
Inverness, Leinster, full noise. I wouldn't be shocked if they put 50 on a few teams this season. Ridiculous strength and depth. But yeah, they're just, I mean, new coach, Dwayne Peel, I think, pretty much all the backroom staff is new, but you can't keep making excuses. You know, the team is full of internationals. It's got British and Irish Lions in the team. I think they're a bit of, you know, it's an aging team as well. You know, you've got Ken Owens, you've got Foxy. You know, the spine of the team is getting old. You know, you've got Costello, they're playing at 10 now, which is great. And obviously he's having a bit of a baptism of fire. But, you know, I actually quite like that he's getting a go. It's the only way he's going to improve. But they're just struggling. I mean, they lost Retuva and they lost Jake Ball in the summer. Didn't really replace them. The back row has been, I think this weekend, from call-ups and injuries, they're going to be missing 22 players.
Jesus.
And considering when, obviously, all the squads sort of chinned themselves down, didn't they?
Yeah.
COVID and stuff. They're just really struggling. I mean, Scott Williams has been brilliant since he's come back. A lot of people wondering whether he'd get called up for Wales. You know, Callum Afoni's still doing a really good job for him. Johnny Williams has played really well against Leinster. Set up the try for Johnny McNichol, who's also playing well. But yeah, there's just some, it's like the first up tackling's just been really, really poor. You know, I hate to say it, I will talk about it in a bit later. Foxy is, I think he's done at top level rugby. Legs have gone. But yeah, really bad for the Scarlets. I think it's going to be a really tough season for them. Hopefully it all clicks for them. Like you say, new coaches and all that. But there's so much quality in the team. Hopefully they can turn it around. But yeah, really, really, really poor for them last couple of weeks. Ospreys, obviously my pick to do to be the best region this year. What can you say? Played the Sharks at home. First half was okay. Second half, horrendous. Only way to explain it. Really, really poor. Especially at home. The South African teams haven't really been doing that great. But yeah, they were just really poor. Really, really poor. And then they played Treviso the past weekend. For the first 20 minutes, they got absolutely battered. Could hardly get out their own half. You know, you've got Adam Beard, Alan Wynne-Jones in the team. Reece Webbs and stuff for the first 20 minutes. I honestly thought Treviso was going to put it on and put on a big score. Flipped it round though, and I think they scored 26 unanswered points or something. Reece Webb just clicked. He was brilliant. But then from that position, they almost threw it away. I think it went to 26-7. And then Treviso got it back to 26-all. And in fairness to Treviso, you know, I actually think they're a lot better team than they have been the last few years. They beat, was it Edinburgh? They beat Edinburgh by a point, didn't they? Like a late drop goal, something like that. And I think they'll take some scouts. Maybe the Rainbow Cup wasn't the
Rainbow Cup winners, mate.
Yeah, maybe that wasn't the shot there. But, like, yeah, so they kind of got back into the Ospreys. But the thing was about the Ospreys, though, they don't look very creative, if I'm honest. People were talking up Owen Watkins from the game because defensively he was great. He can't catch a pass at the moment and he can't pass a ball at the moment. And if you listen to, obviously, Pivak, which we'll talk about later, you know, he doesn't want that. I'll give him a C-. The Dragons, in fairness, positivity for the Dragons. Great way win away in Connacht. I think it's the first time since 2005 they won in Ireland, or in Connacht at least. They were amazing. It was such a good game to watch. Tane Basham, unbelievable for the last couple of weeks. And then the problem is, went from beating Connacht, all brilliant, you know, Jonah Holmes playing well, Sam Davis playing well, John Williams, you know, back row was brilliant. And then they come home to the Stormers and it's the same old, the Dragons play well, but they lost. I think they've had four home games this season now, four or three home games this season, and they've lost them all of them really close games. But yeah, I mean, I think the Stormers end up winning 20-something 10. And it was one of them games where the score doesn't really sort of justify the game. The Dragons were a lot better. I think the score looked worse because there was sort of an intercept try at the end or a kick on at the end. So, but I mean, for the Dragons, for once, the forward packs looked really good. You got Rowlands and Carter in the second row and the back row with Basham, Wainwright, Moriarty. I mean, I feel sorry for the Dragons because they're back five of the scrum. Although I think six of their forwards, that start for them are with Wales now. So that shows that they started really well. So, yeah, I mean, they played Leinster the week before, didn't they? Lost by a point at home to Leinster in a game they could have won. So, I don't know. Like I say, I said at the start of the season, at some point, you have to stop saying, oh, it's so close, they should have done better, to actually winning these games. So, yeah, positives for them. And then to Cardiff. Cardiff, they're a bit of a first half team at the moment. Cardiff, to watch Cardiff, it's quite entertaining. But they do a lot of stuff. There's a lot of like neat passing and a couple of line breaks and stuff. But invariably, it doesn't always come to anything. So it's one of them things that, like in football, it can look really pretty, but there's no end product to it. You know, there was a bad loss to the Bulls at home. I think they were leading at half time, in control at home. Same again, the Bulls haven't won a game yet. So that was poor. And then obviously they played the Stormers this weekend, just gone. It was a good win. Good win in the end. But same again. 17-0 up in the first half, cruising, not look like in any trouble. And then that led to, I think it was 17-3 at half time. And that led, they didn't score a point then. Storms came back in, Priestland getting a late penalty for the win. So it's a good win. It's almost like they sort of build this lead up and then sit back and enjoy it, really. I think Priestland's been a great signing for them. You can see the experience he brings to the team. Halaholo's been brilliant. Owen Lane's been playing well. So they've been doing well. I think they're a lot like the Scarlets, though. Sort of in the forwards, they're not. They can sort of get beaten up front, which doesn't help, because Cardiff have got a very, very exciting backline, in my opinion. Sort of Halaholo, Owen Lane, Matthew Morgan, Josh Adams, Priestland, Jared Evans, Thomas Williams. These are all top class players. So, the regions are just frustrating. I mean, they've been frustrating for seasons. But I think after a good start from the teams, it sort of just petered out a little bit now. So we'll see. I actually really fear for them this weekend, though, because Wales are not releasing any of the players back to the clubs to play.
Really?
Yeah. But basically, it's going to be a secure bubble again. They'll be allowed home to their families at weekends, sort of after games on the Monday, I think.
Is that from this weekend as well? So they're not letting anyone this weekend?
No one this weekend. Jesus. It's just going to be a secure bubble again, exactly like sort of height of COVID.
Make sure Josh Adams knows that.
He's had the kid now. Yeah. Listen. Yeah. Well, listen, we can't afford to have any of our back three get injured or suspended, let's say. I suppose that's a nice little segue into main portion, isn't it? So, obviously, Wales named their team last Wednesday or Thursday, and Scotland named their team, was it yesterday?
Yesterday, yeah. I've only just realised that Sean Maitland didn't make the squad.
Yeah. I'm not shocked by that. I still think he's a good player, but I think it's time for a sort of a. Well, we'll get into it, won't we?
Yeah.
We'll get into it. So, yeah. So obviously, I think Wales named 38 players, and from that, there's quite a few that can't play next weekend, and then you've got. Scotland named 42. Is that right?
Yeah, 42. Yeah,
42. Big squad. Big squad. So, we'll start with Scotland. Go on, we'll start with Scotland.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's name these 42 players.
Well, I'm not going. Do you want me to go through name every player in the squad?
To you, mate. To you, whatever you want to do with your team.
I'm not naming every. Go on, all this. So forwards. I don't really want it. Ashman from Sale, Josh Bayliss, Batty, Fraser Brown, Crosby, Rory Darge, Matt Ferguson, Xander Ferguson, Grant Gilchrist, Nick Hanen, Rob Harley, Jamie Hodgson, Ollie Kebble, Murray McCallum, Stuart McAnally, Dylan Richardson, Jamie Ritchie, Sam Skinner, Pierce Schumann, Roy Sutherland, Marshall Sykes, George Turner, Hamish Watson. And then in the backs, Mark Bennett, Darcy Graham, Jamie Doby, Chris Harris, Adam Hastings, Stuart Hogg, George Horn, Damien Hoyland, Sam Johnson, Hugh Jones, Blair Kinghorn, Doohan, Rufus McLean, Ali Price, Finn Russell, the legend Matt Scott, Carl Stein, Ross Thompson, and Griff Lotto. In general, like, I've got like really, if I'm being honest, like, I've got not massive dramas with the squad. I think we're a bit light in the second row. Like, there's no Johnny Gray because he's injured. Richie Gray, I think, has been playing quite well for Glasgow, so I was surprised he wasn't put in the squad. So we've got like Sykes, Jamie Hodgson, so two guys coming in that I don't think they've played before. Grant Gilchrist, and you've got Sam Skinner. I think they're the four. Obviously, Hayden can play second row, and Jamie Richie can play second row at a push. So there's players there, so I think a lot of pressure. I think, like, for me, if Sam Skinner plays, because I don't think he's been playing much for Exeter. He's not been playing much at all for Exeter, because I've been watching him. So, like, it'll be quite interesting to see obviously, he won't be available for the Tonga game anyway. It'll be quite interesting to see what they do with that. But, yeah, I mean, a couple, like, him missing out, Blade Thompson missing out, I suppose. That's probably not massively surprising. He's not really done it in a Scotland shirt. Tom Gordon, but I think Tom Gordon might be injured. He's been pretty good when he's been playing for Glasgow. But, do you know what I mean? He named 42 players, so there can't have been many shocks, do you know what I mean, in the forwards. And then in the backs, good to see like some of the young players, Rufus McLean, Ross Thompson, Jamie Doby. I'm a bit like, I wouldn't say miffed, but I'd be a bit miffed if I was an Edinburgh scrum half, because like all three scrum halves are from one team, which, you know, is a bit mental. So I think Doby will be given some game time against Tonga, and then I think he'll be thrown back to Glasgow. But it's good to see like Mark Bennett and Matt Scott back. You know, I know they've not played in national rugby for a while. Sam Johnson was in the squad that was going to be playing in the summer, but obviously COVID derailed that. So yeah, I mean, like I say, I didn't realise initially until just now that Sean Maitland's not made the squad. A few people I was reading on Twitter, like people saying about Roy Hutchin. I agree. I do think Roy Hutchin should be in the squad, but he's not actually played that much rugby for Northampton this season. I mean, he's only played two games, and one of them might have been as a sub. So, I think it's been made clear, obviously, Townsend sees some form of weakness in his game because and they've spoke about like that they've had chats and things like that. And then, like, but with Vellacott and Lang, so I'd be like, probably if I was them two, I'd probably be a little bit miffed that they're not in the squad because they've gone to Edinburgh, obviously, to try and play more for Scotland. And then neither of them have made the squad. So I don't know, it just seems a bit strange. But no, I've got no massive drama. Quite excited to see Tuipulotu go. Praying that Matt Scott plays in the game against Australia, because I'll be there for that game and I can see him play.
Get your tissues ready.
But no, it's quite good. Yeah, I'm more than happy with it. Yeah, I'm not. Do you mean I'm not gonna be like, oh, where's so and so and where's so and so? I'm reasonably happy with it. So, looking forward to see Ross Thompson play like for Scotland. Love to see him and Doby play 9 and 10, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, so I've only quickly looked over your team. Like, I jokingly said to you, didn't I? 42 players selected, there's only left in Scotland. Obviously, that is tongue-in-cheek. And it's only four more than Wales, obviously, but 42 just seems like a lot, doesn't it? I agree with you on the Vellacott thing, I think. And we spoke about this before. Having three scrum halves in the Scotland squad that all play for the same team, especially with the URC as it is now, because no games are going to be played during internationals anymore. One of them's got to leave. I don't know who. I think obviously Ali Price always going to be in British Lion. I think he's playing this weekend, isn't he? I think he's been picked this weekend, hasn't he? For his first game. So obviously he's going to be in. Vellacott should have been in. Some
he's
people said,
well.
"Oh,
he's played
yeah,
really well."
So, yeah, he's been brilliant. I mean, brilliant. And you know, people said, "Oh, it's only four games," and it's like, but you're meant to pick on form. Obviously, Jamie Doby and George Horn, one of them's always been coming off a bench at least, haven't they?
Yeah.
So I do think that's. I don't think is it an issue potentially? You can't have. I mean, Wales have Gareth Davis and Kieran Hardy, don't they? Two scrum halves at the same team. Three scrum halves at the same team is an issue. So, yeah, I do feel he was a little bit unlucky. The Maitland one, like I say, he's probably going to be 35 in the next World Cup. And I think you've got players like sort of Cole Forbes and Rufus McLean, who we spoke
Forbes
about.
Didn't make the squad.
I know he didn't make the squad, but that's the point.
He was in the training squad, wasn't he?
Training squad, yeah. So, so you've got sort of, you know, I mean, it's a good squad. I think you know, like Wales. I think if a couple of your starting second rows aren't available, it looks thin, and it's the same with Wales. But these, you know, at the end of the day, these are sort of the internationals. I don't want to say they don't mean anything because they mean a lot, because you know you want to beat these Southern Hemisphere teams. It's great for confidence going into the Six Nations, but you know it's also a good time to see some of these players.
Yeah, I agree, and I do think that after the Tonga game, I think the Scotland squad might drop down in numbers, like when the English-based players can come in.
It would
surprise me if a few of them go back. One person I forgot to mention as well. I mean, there's going to be 12 debutants in the squad. Really looking forward to seeing him play, because I've been watching Bath, and Bath have been Webster's, but he's been pretty good. Josh Bayliss, he can carry, and he's quick and he's strong. He's probably the only player. I watched the Saracens Bath game. I would say only player that looked like he was even trying for Bath.
Yeah, he's playing eight as well, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you'd imagine he's going to get his opportunity after being called up in the Six Nations. He'll probably get a crack. I mean, the disappointing thing for him is he would have probably played against Tonga in some instance, but obviously he's unavailable, isn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, we've said it now. I think Scotland are building a good squad now. They've got world-class players in sort of the spine, which is what you need to be a successful team. You know, like for me, you know, Scotland should be looking at winning the Six Nations next year, at least competing to the last day with what they've got now. There's areas where they sort of lack a little bit. But, you know, who doesn't, except for England and Ireland, who doesn't, and France, actually. So it's just us, just Wales and Scotland, Italy. But we're sort of that strength and depth, which is somewhere, obviously, going through this Wales team now. So what was your prediction for the autumn? Didn't you say win three, lose one. Right, okay. So you still confident of that with the team that's picked?
Yeah, why not? Why not?
Rob Harley's got in.
I think he's there just to make sure everyone trains properly, because he's just a big, horrible ginger guy. But I think he just scares people and makes them train. Because the one thing we've got, as much as he's clearly a good pro. The amount of club games he's played and things like that, he's the kind of player you want him in your team. He's just, for me, just not quite international level, but I bet he's good on the training pitch and things like that.
Yeah, well, that guy is good to have around the team.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. So, obviously, Wales named their team. And a few bits and pieces to talk about in this squad, and a few things that Pivac's actually said in the press as well. So, I'll just run through the team. It won't take as long as Mike's. So, front row, you've got Wyn Jones, Rhys Carey, Rodri Jones, Ken Owens, Elliot D., Ryan Elias, Tom Francis, Will Griff John, and Dylan Lewis. Second rows, Alwyn Jones, Adam Beard, Will Rowlands, Ben Carter, Seb Davis. Back row, you got Ross Moriarty, Aaron Wainwright, Thomas Young, Toby Faletau, Tane Basham, Ellis Jenkins, Christ Shionza. We haven't got his name right. In the halfbacks, you got Thomas Willing, Gareth Davis, Kieran Hardy. No real shocks there. We've had to pick four fly halves because of the game. So you've got Anscombe, Reece Priestland gets a recall, Dan Bigger, Callum Sheedy. Centres, you've got Foxy, Johnny Williams, Willis Halaholo, Ben Thomas and Nick Tompkins. And the back three is Josh Adams, Louis Rhys-Lightning, Owen Lane, Johnny McNichol, and Sanjay, Liam Williams. So, obviously, Wales, there's injuries in the back row. We've had to pick less players in certain positions because two of our fly-offs can't play against New Zealand. That's what a lot of people are annoyed by this fixture, really. But if I go through, obviously you were saying there wasn't a lot of selections in the Scotland squad that you could be annoyed by, or you thought, wow, that's a shocker. In this Wales team, there's definitely a few. For starting the forwards, you got Rodri Jones, doesn't even start for the Ospreys. He played his first game this weekend. I don't know. He must have something on Pivac. Must have something on Pivac. He's done nothing in a Wales jersey that I can think of. He's got something to work with. He was that good at loose head that Gatland tried to turn him into a tight end. But Wyn Jones, obviously, he was great on the Lions, and Reece Carey has been playing well. So yeah, Reece Jones is the first one. Ryan Elias, he's blatantly one of Pivac's favourites, old Scarlet's boy. I've never really been truly convinced by him. Whether he would have played this weekend, I don't know, but it looks like he will, because I think Elliot D might be injured. So he will get a go. Nice to see Will Gruff John finally get an opportunity after, unfortunately not playing when the Scotland game got called off. Dylan Lewis gets in the team again. Same again. There's nothing that I've seen him playing for Cardiff. He's great round the pitch, which is obviously what Pivac wants, but I've spoke about on this pod before. Props are there to scrummage. It's great if you can get your Sinclairs, your Fergusons, your Furlongs. It's great if you can find them players, but bread and butter's got to be your scrummaging. I just don't think he's up to it at the moment. I think he needs to go back to club rugby and develop. Second row, pretty happy. Obviously, Elliman Jones, Beard, Rowlands, Ben Carter, who's really impressive. I think he's only 20, 21. Seb Davis, huge surprise. He's not really tearing up trees for Cardiff at the moment. So that's one another surprise. I think he likes him because of his football ability. But yeah, it's a bit of a surprise, bit of a shock, to be honest. Back row, they got special dispensation to get Thomas Young in the team. He's obviously agreed to sign for Cardiff, which I should have put in the news. He is starting playing for Cardiff next year. To be fair, he's playing really well for Wasps, and he's a good player. So it actually doesn't annoy me they've got special dispensation for him. He is the sort of back row that I'd imagine Pivac likes. pardon me. So really happy with that. I think it's a good sign for Cardiff, although they're absolutely stacked in the back row now. I suppose the other shock is Christ Shionza being named in the team, who's sort of a back row, second row hybrid. Big things seen about him. Pivac said he's been picked because he something to do with his size and athleticism no one in Wales has got. Just a bit of a dig probably at every back row going. to me, he's been picked to stop England picking him.
Yeah.
Hands down. There's the tug of war for him. The only reason he's been picked is, he's always said he wanted to play for Wales, and I think they've just gone, listen, you're in our thoughts. And that's it. He is one for the future. He's nowhere near being ready to play international rugby. I think he's played. The day he got caught.
New Zealand.
He plays for Exeter.
Oh, is he Exeter?
Well, the man thing, the day he got caught, this is how He's played three games off the bench for Exeter, I think, three or four games off the bench for Exeter. The day he got called up, he played for Exeter University against Cardiff University.
Jesus.
So, you know, it's exactly the reason why he's been picked. You know, lots of promise, but I think it's just one to keep him away. There's the other ones. Johnny Williams getting picked. It's a bit of a shock. He's only had one game back, but I do think it's someone that Pivac rates, and I agree with that. I do think he should be Wales's 12 moving in now. Tompkins getting picked again. A lot of people kicking off about Tompkins because he didn't really, lost a bit of form.
He's played all right for Saracens, he's playing really well for Saracens.
And I think that's the difference. He went to a Dragons team, pretty poor, not playing regularly because he was Wales and stuff. I think he's gone back to Saracens, familiar, and obviously a very good team, aren't they? They're playing really well this year. I think you'll see a different Tompkins for Wales, just because I think his confidence will be back. Obviously, we've had to pick four fly halves because two of our fly halves can't play against New Zealand. So Priestland, at the age of 35, gets a call up. We'll see. Obviously, it's a straight shootout between him and Anscombe to play. But he's actually doing really well for Cardiff. And to be fair, you can tell the difference. If you look at Bath, haven't won a game this year with Cipriani.
Cipriani's only played two games, though, to be fair.
He's been dog-awful on both of them.
He was shit the other day. I watched that.
He got subbed at half-time, didn't he? But not the other day, he didn't.
He played the second half of it.
I think he got subbed just after, didn't he? But you can see the difference of having someone like Priestland at the club. And then, obviously, I think they've had a youngster and Cipriani, haven't they? So,
yeah,
he's a bit of a shock. Picking Sanjay, he's just had his appendix taken out. No one knows if he's going to be fit. Obviously, they must be expecting him to be fit, but he hasn't played. He wouldn't have played since the Lions. I think that's quite a risk. I know Wales have done it a lot with other players. The other thing is basically New Zealand know exactly who's going to be playing against them in the back three because Sanjay's injured and Lou Rees-Samit can't play. So Josh Adams, Owen Lane and Johnny McNichol are playing. and no wing cover on the bench. No wing cover on the bench. And that's where my issues obviously with Rodri Jones, Ryan Elias. Faletau's been picked. I don't think he's played a game yet for Bath. He might play this weekend. You've got to hope so. So he's going to be massively undercooked. Alwyn Jones has looked a bit undercooked. Ken Owens, I mean, as well as a lot of these players have been playing in poor teams, have been getting beaten. But I think the big takes from it, one, no Jonah Holmes.
That shocked me, that did.
Well, I think Jonah Holmes hasn't got in because they had to get four fly-halves in. But if you wanted to be brutally honest, does Callum Sheedy deserve to be in the team at the moment? Because Bristol have been absolutely shocking from the reports I've read about him. He hasn't really been fantastic. Do you really need him? Because you could still rely on bigger Priestland and Anscombe. For the rest of the autumn, and like I just said, there's no cover on the bench against New Zealand if one of Nichol, Adams, or Owen Lane gets injured. Usually Tompkins would come in on the wing.
Honolulu play out wide?
Yeah, he could probably play out wide. Yeah. I'm not sure how much rugby's ever played there, but
so Priestland or Anscombe though would cover.
You go to fullback,
wouldn't they? And then your 15 would go. So there is options.
Yeah, it's not ideal options when you've got a player like Jonah Holmes who's been in unbelievable form. Apparently, he didn't get in the team because he didn't have the same work rate as Owen Lane. He's still banging and trying. So, yeah. And then the other ones were, it's great to have Ellis Jenkins back in there. I do think he's a class player. Tane Basham's been brilliant. But I do feel sorry for Jack Morgan and Tommy Raffel, or Rafael. Jack Morgan's been tearing up for the Ospreys, should have been in the squad over the summer. Tommy Raffel has been, I think, except for this game just gone, has been started every game for Leicester this season, who are top of the Premiership. And you know, reading into reports and stuff, has been playing unbelievable. Some of the games I've seen him play, he's been amazing. And this is where the sort of pivot coming out in the press, I prefer it if he didn't say this sort of stuff in public. You know, he said, I've spoke to him and they don't suit the way that we want to play right now. And I mean, he's the coach and it's his prerogative. But then I'd also point to, is Ross Moriarty really a wide rangy fucking, you know, obviously wants our forwards to play on the wing and stuff, doesn't he? And have that option. Ross Moriarty isn't that player. James Botham isn't that player. Shane Lewis Hughes isn't that player, but he's picked all them players. So I just find it annoying. You know, sometimes you need a number seven who's just going to be, you know, yes, he might not have great hands and stuff, but he can carry, he can jackal, he can defend. And you just need that sort of player sometimes, I think. So yeah, it's a bit disappointed for them, really. Especially the injuries we had, but you know, and the last one, which I was talking about earlier, is Foxy. I honestly think it pains me to say he is a shadow of the player he used to be. His legs have gone. His defensively, he's been a liability for the Scarlets, and I just think it's his time, and you know. I don't want to be horrible because, I mean, he genuinely is a Welsh legend. But I think, I don't think he should be in there. Who you'd pick ahead of him is something else. But, I don't think he should be in it. I predicted 2 wins, 2 losses, didn't I? It could be 3 losses, 1 win, to be fair. So that's how I feel about that. So yeah, interesting. Some of the selections are good. You know, I mean, in fairness, if you think about our injuries in the back row, we can still pick Ross Moriarty, Wainwright, Tom Young, Falafel, Alex Jenkins, Tane Basham. It's not bad, is it?
But Navidi and Tipperick are 2 big losses, aren't
they? Huge. I think Navidi more than Tipperick. I rate Navidi is our glue to the back row. He's that sort of just does everything. Huge risk. And he's not going to play. I haven't even said that, and then he's completely forgot. He's not even going to play in the Six Nations, is he? Not even going to play in the Six Nations, Navidi, out for 5 to 6 months with a shoulder injury, which is bad. But this, you know, this could be the opportunity. Someone like Thomas Young, I think they're very, very similar players. Carry well, good hands, tackle, jackal. It could be a big opportunity. And in fairness, we haven't seen the best of Thomas Young. He hasn't really had the chances, but he's an exciting player, isn't he? So yeah. I think he might suit a pivot style of play, but we'll see. I'll jump in as we're still talking about Wales. So the team I've picked for to play New Zealand, not too many shocks, to be fair, although maybe in the back row. Maybe in the centres. So I've got Wynn Jones, Ken Owens and Thomas Francis. No shocks there. Alan Wynn Jones and Beard in the second row. And I've gone for 2 fetchers. So I've actually gone for Ellis Jenkins and Tane Basham, 6 and 7. And Wainwright at 8. I think, you know, physically we're not gonna overpower the All Blacks, but I do think if you can disrupt them, you've got 2 players you can play out wide who are skillful but can also steal the ball. So I just think that'd be quite an exciting back row. I've gone Thomas Williams, I've gone Anscombe to start with the experience of Priestland coming off the bench. Josh Adams, Owen Lane and Johnny McNichol, no shot there. And then I've gone Johnny Williams and Willis Halaholo in the centres. And then just quickly the bench. I've gone Carey, Elias, Scriff John, Rowlands, Moriarty, Gareth Davis, Priestland, and I've gone Ben Thomas on the bench because he covers 10, 12 and 15.
Decent.
I think it's not bad.
I know, like people say, well, you might get a bit of a pumping by New Zealand. It's still a good team.
Yeah, no, it is. It is. I mean, I don't think he'll go Jenkins and Basham. I think he'll go either Moriarty. I think he'll go an all Dragons back row. But I think I just fancy Jenkins and Basham could do a little bit of decent work on the floor. I think Wainwright is improving loads. I do think Pivak mate was right in turning him into a number eight because of his footwork. But we'll see. I mean, I think they'll put about 30, 40 on us easy, I think. But we never start well. But hey, I'll tell you something. If we end up beating them, mate, I will be hungover for a good couple of weeks.
You're getting ahead of yourself there, mate.
Yeah, because we're not going to beat them. That's what I mean. Right, go on. What's the Scotland team?
Sean,
of your English base players.
Yeah, so I've tried to mix it with players that I think will get given like starts and then maybe get thinned out for the rest of it, and for players that need game time as well. So I've gone Schoeman to start with. So front row Schoeman, Turner and Ferguson. I think Turner and Ferguson need some game time. So they'll get given that before the internationals. Second row, Skinner can't play. We've only got three options, like proper second row. So I've gone Gilchrist and Hodgson. No, sorry, I've gone Gilchrist and Sykes. And then 6, 7, 8, I've gone Richie, Watson and Ferguson. I've gone Richie to captain the team without Hogg there. And I've gone Watson, Ferguson, because I think they need game time. Because Ferguson's been injured and Watson's obviously come back for the Lions tour. So he needs to get some games in before the Ultimate Nationals. Same with Ali Price. So I've started Price at 9 because I've got Thompson at 10 because obviously Russell and Hastings aren't there. So Thompson's definitely starting 10. So I think he'll have 9. Ali Price, so experience inside him. Centres, I've gone Sam Johnson and Tuipulotu. Wingers of Rufus McLean, Darcy Graham. And I've gone Blair King on at fullback, but I'm not sure if he's fit because he's not played much for Edinburgh recently. And then on the bench, I've got Fraser Brown, Ollie Kebble, McCallum, Hodgson, Rory Darge, Jamie Doby, Steyn and Hoyland. I'd like to have started Darge and Doby to give them starts on the debuts, but I just think that Watson and Price will need some game time. So they'll get started, they'll get about 50 minutes.
Yeah, because Watson hasn't played yet this season, has he?
No, he might be playing Saturday. I don't know. Yeah. Obviously, the squad's not out yet for that. Like Ali Price is playing and Xander Fagerson's playing. This weekend, but I just think they'll need some more game time before the internationals come in. But yeah, I mean, I've not missed that many out really because a lot of players are coming from England as well.
Yeah, decent team. I kind of wish Wales kind of had a fixture like this. I think Tonga's like a nice warm up game, and
it's a game you should win. But if you don't win, you can kind of say, well, we were trying a lot of new players. But it's unlikely we'll get a pump in. Whereas like, you play New Zealand, you could put your first team out and get a pump in, couldn't you? So.
100%, mate. Yeah. I'm buzzing international rugby's back because I do love it. You know, I've enjoyed the URC, but international rugby is just brilliant. It's nice to have it back, but I'm not too sure.
I can't wait to get to Edinburgh with my dad. Have a few beers, watch the Scotland-Australia game. Matt Scott scored a winning try last minute of the game. Buzzing.
I think you might be...
Cock out of everything.
just a horrible thought. Just a horrible aim into that. Especially sat next to your dad as well. It's just strange. let's just move on, quickly, because we have been running a bit. URC fixtures this weekend. You've got Friday night, Scarlets versus Treviso or Benetton at home. If Benetton have got full noise, I can see him doing the Scarlets. Scarlets are very threadbare. Very, very threadbare. So I've got to go Scarlets, but to be fair, I think Benetton might beat him.
I'm going to go Scarlets anyway because they're at home and I think they need to stop turning around.
And then obviously same time on Friday night, Glasgow, Leinster. I've got to go Leinster because they've gone full noise again.
I'm going to go Glasgow, which is not normally, but I thought they were so good when they got beat by Ulster when they played in Ulster. I just think there's a little, although they're not as creative, I just think, I don't know, with Xander back, Ali Price back, I'm going to go Glasgow here.
Fuck Ross it. Thompson at 15?
Is he?
Yep.
I've just had the squad up as well. Didn't see that one. I didn't realise that one, I think, more than anything else.
Yeah, Ross Thompson at 15. Cole Forbes on the bench.
Mm, interesting. Well,
interesting. I think it'll be a really good game. I'm going to go Leinster though, just because they are absolute full noise.
Yeah.
And then Saturday you got Edinburgh away to Zebre. It's an Edinburgh win, isn't it?
Should be.
Then you've got the Derby, Cardiff Dragons, which is just it's annoying because Wales aren't releasing any of their players, so it's literally going to be sort of second teams for both of them. I'm going to go Cardiff just because they're at home. Looks like there's actually going to be a decent crowd there as well.
I go Cardiff as well.
Yeah, and then Saturday night, Ospreys versus Munster. Munster, especially if they're going full noise, especially if they've got full team, because Ospreys aren't. Ospreys have lost about 10 players or something. So.
Yeah, Munster as well. Yeah,
Munster as well, yeah. Right, fantastic. Right, brilliant. Yeah, so obviously next week, hopefully, I suppose if we do it on a Thursday again, the team should be out for the weekend, shouldn't they? So
yeah, I can't do Wednesday either. I'm playing football.
Right, okay. So yeah, probably next Thursday then. And obviously we can discuss if we've got our teams correct. They won't be. We never get it correct. But yeah, we'll discuss that. We'll obviously discuss the games this weekend. At least there's going to be one Welsh region winning because they're playing each other. I haven't got hope for much of the other games. Yeah, so we'll be discussing all that and obviously all the news, if there is any that's coming out. I won't have any nice stories about Cyprus or anything next week. It'll just be like shit from work and stuff. Although I'm going to a 50th this weekend. I'm gonna watch local rugby team play, and then the party's at the rugby club that we're at. So I'm just gonna stay there all day. Be shiters by the time the party starts. So that'd be decent.
I'll be buzzing with that, mate.
Yeah, well, I think it's a surprise party. I'll probably be just like stood outside or something, like be ruining the surprise or something. Reclass for it. It'd be funny if that happened. Probably be homeless. You got any plans this weekend, mate? Swimming lessons, football, dancing?
Exciting times that I've got. So obviously, stuff with Maggie. We've got to put up some IKEA flat pack furniture that we bought.
Oh, mate, I'm jealous.
Play footy Saturday as well.
Lovely, lovely stuff. Yeah, if you want to get in touch with us, we're on Twitter and Instagram. Twitter, it's at DT Rugby Pod. Twitter and Facebook, Instagram and Facebook's Dragon Pistol Rugby. Yeah, anyway, thank you very much for listening. Like I say, apologise for the couple of weeks we had off. I was sunning myself. I'll take full responsibility for once.
You got a decent tan?
Mate, tan is on point.
Happy with that.
My boss, you know, I don't like using this word, but my boss walked up to me and went, "Look at your tan, you fucking cunt." Just walked off. just walked off, mate. So, yeah, I'm on point, mate. It looks fake, but it is real.
Remember it like Roy? Remember when he did that?
Roy loves the tan, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Roy loves the tan. Right, okay. So thanks very much for listening. And yeah, we'll be back next week.
Bye.
Bye.